This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 3rd of January, 1959. The title of this lecture is Engrams and Clearing. This tape is 54 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. Well, have we got a Congress yet?
Yes.
Very good, very good. Well, I think it's time we started this Congress. Stop fooling around here. Because there's far, far too much data to let it sit around. Something very amazing has happened. We've started to run engrams again. Now this, the joke really is on you. The joke is definitely on you. But for this reason, we never knew they could be run this hard. We never knew that all cases were screamers. Well, in old-time Dianetics, we had engrams. What is an engram? An engram in Dianetics, montane unconsciousness contained in a mental image picture, some copy of some physical universe experience. And we said to the fellow, when I count from 1 to 3, you will go Anna 10 and slide down the track. And defenselessly, I will let you wallow through this as best you can. Now, oddly enough, it was engram running that did clearing. It was engram running that did clearing, originally. But it was something different, really, than what we were doing in Dianetics with Book One. It was a little bit different. What I used to do in 1947 was to get somebody able to look at experience, hear, feel, so forth, a mental image picture. And then I would graduate him upstairs till he could stand more and more mental image picture. And gradually, we'd get him up to a point where, what mental image picture? And we had our first clears. Now, in Dianetics, vanishment, which is part of a technique called factual havingness today, vanishment took precedence over everything else. Everybody wanted to get rid of all of their engrams. Now get this, is a big difference. It's a big difference. Getting rid of a bank and being able to have or create a bank are two different things. Now what do we mean by bank? Well, that's a big question. A lot of people. Black case walking around. If I could just get it in my bank. Where does he think he is? Get at it. Wow. He's in it. Now, we used to have difficulty with people on the subject of had they lived before. We used to have difficulty with people about this because they used to say, I have never lived before. I will never live again. Thank God. Well, actually, refusing to admit that you will ever live again is a failure to take responsibility for what you are doing or not doing in your society now so as to make one in the future. And if this government down here realized that it wasn't a case of taking an atom bomb full in the kisser and that was that from there on out, see, they're dead forever. If they thought that was the case, being death hungry, they might be tempted to use one, but the joke's on them. After they fry one body, they got to come back and look at the rubble. I can just see dull Foster now. Until he picks up another body, he'll have full recall of everything that went on. Picks up another body, says, I start all over again, I got new havingness, I'm going to forget it all. Who will there be around to raise one for him? So I guess he goes off to Planet X. Maybe he becomes a bird or a fish or something. I hope. Now, all science is, in general, today, in its degraded state, is how you put wiggle-woggles together to go wiggle-wub. How you get an effect by viz. There's no source. No source. Nothing came from any place. One of the first things a modern scientist will tell you, well, it isn't new. It was originally thought of by Sir Isaac Snodgrass in 1720. Yes, yes. I remember the paper well. You're saying that you have found out that dogs exteriorize, and he says clearly, you kick dogs out. When dogs get in the living room, you kick them out. I remember the scientific dissertation very, very vividly because I had to read in school. He's got the whole thing going, ooh, you know. He is not willing to take responsibility for being source. He is mainly engaged in discounting source. And you have most of the peoples and governments of the world today engaged in this activity. Communism is psychotic on the subject of discounting source. If you want to know the common denominator of some of these isms and so forth, it's just denial of source. They have a famous clown. This famous clown is a perfectly fine clown. So they say you're making a cult of the personality. You mustn't be an individual. You mustn't be a source. So therefore, we're not going to feature you in circuses anymore because you're the only reason people come. Which is all very logical. That's what they did to him in Poland. Name was Popov. Happened just a couple of years ago. This type of activity, when it comes to discounting all source, of course, discounts thee and me and themselves too. Now, who is source of life and who is source of a body? A Thetan. And you get modern science discounting all source and modern political philosophy discounting all source. And what have you got? You've got everybody nowhere. And everybody is everybody, and bodies are bodies, and if the body does it, why then it's done, but I didn't do anything. It got sick. I didn't have anything to do with the body getting sick. It's got a reactive bank. I didn't have anything to do with the body getting a reactive bank. Oh, here's a past death, a picture of a past death. Well, that must mean I'm crazy, because I've never lived before. How could this body ever live before? You get this weird state of mind? Even religion in the last couple of thousand years has been saying, you take care of your soul. You keep it in a small box in your pocket, and if you get it blessed often enough, why then it goes up and eats pie in the sky forevermore. Well, wasn't that the way it was? Didn't have anything to do with you actually going to heaven, although the early days of Christianity understood this. But more and more, it's been somebody else, something else. I'm not responsible, and I'm not here. Well, now, if you get everybody saying I'm not responsible, then who's going to put together these future generations? You are. Nobody else. Boy, I can see you now. sitting up there at about 2025 A.D. Rubble all about, trying frantically to cure up the latest wave of radiation sickness that is sweeping what bodies are left. Yeah, but you got killed in the first blitz. Yeah, but here you are again. Get the idea? And saying to yourself as you sit there waiting for your next customer to be dragged in on a stretcher or something of the sort, saying to yourself, most bodies now have five arms, saying to yourself, why didn't I work a little harder back in 1959? Why didn't I crush through a little bit more? Why didn't I try to make it just a little bit neater? Well, on that condemnatory point, we can take off into the recognition that an individual who says, I've never lived before, I will never live again, I'm from nowhere, going no place, and when they bury the body, I'm dead, what are we looking at? We're looking at a total irresponsibility, and possibly any difficulty you have right this minute is set up from a total irresponsibility of somewhere earlier on the track. We won't go into that. That's too unkind. That's much too unkind. If we look at this idea of bank, we're appalled to discover that all psychotherapy of past ages here on earth could not have availed itself of anything, because the engram necessary to resolve the case is always earlier than this life. How grim. But you start to audit this fellow, and he says, oh, you say, all right, go to the engram necessary to resolve the case. That's very fine. Now, what is it? E-meters or so on and so on. Get it bouncing and so on. And what were you doing? And so on. He's awful unreal to me. He says, I have no reality on past lives. None. Got no reality at all on past lives. You'd get into a case in Dianetics, a fellow would all of a sudden slip out of this lifetime and go diving into something where he was on a spaceship and the electronic guns were all going, bodies strewn all over the place. And he says, this couldn't be the past because this is the future. I read in all the science fiction magazines. According to the very best science fiction writers, including Hubbard, this is all in the future. Well, therefore, I couldn't be in the past, and I'm not in the future, and where am I, and this is all delusion. And now I know I've gone mad because I'm now in the middle of delusion. Well, the one thing that barred us from doing anything about this condition of affairs, we didn't have a single button nailed down. And that was this button called reality, unreality. This single button barred us from reaching into people's pasts and so forth. What is this button called unreality? How can we solve that thing? The individual says, I have no reality on past lives. I have no reality on having lived before. But if even Time magazine a number of years ago had no reality on it at all, why did they give me a full page because I had said that we were all 76 trillion years old? Now, just think of that for a minute. Think of that for a minute. They had a total agreement that I was totally out of agreement with modern society on the subject of lives and so forth. But why does this become news? I think there was a little sneaking hunch right lying under the whole thing that all anybody'd have to do is just breathe a little harder and they'd go straight into the total reality of having lived before. And that's what we've done today pretty well in engram running. We can take these unreality cases and gradually slip them He's on a spaceship. And he comes out of the incident, and you say, you were never on that spaceship. It's all delusion. You're a psychiatric case, obvious. It's all delusion. He's liable to whip you. Very, very funny. You could almost say that the case that has the greatest unreality on having lived before is sitting hardest in having done so. So what is this reactive bank? This reactive bank measures the truth of one's experiences. It is pictures of things he could do nothing about, and that is its common denominator. He not only could do nothing about the situation, but he could do nothing whatsoever about the picture he made of it. And a reactive bank could be classified as that thing about which you could do nothing. And past lives in particular, having lived before, was certainly something about which you could do nothing. The societies in which you've been successful, the societies in which you've prospered, folded up. You tried to keep them from folding up, and then you decided you could do nothing about it somewhere along the line, and you kept a picture of the fold up. You didn't necessarily obsessively have pictures of the success, but you certainly had pictures of the failure. So a reactive bank is held in place by the single postulate, there's nothing I can do about it. And that is a bank. Here we come along like steamrollers and do something about it. Well, naturally, you get a certain amount of resistance on the part of a society when you tell them that this thing, which has as its central postulate, I can do nothing about it, is something about which something can be done. And what's their Q&A? Of course, these men are all sane. These men are analytical, no reactive reactions, no stimulus response. They know that. They know that. They know best. And we walk right into this and we say, you can do something about the reactive mind. The source of human illness is a mental image picture containing pain and unconsciousness. It can be erased. And what do they say at once? They say, ha! Nothing can be done about that, nothing can be done about that, nothing can be done about that, it doesn't exist, unreality, unreality, unreality. We were never quite smart enough to simply say, go over that again. We never even really came into this technique, not a very good technique. What is unreal about a past life? That's quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. That a man carries his record around with him. But in Dianetics, we would have kept on winning and wouldn't have known a great many things probably if we had simply kept people going on the basis of being able to confront their own mental image pictures, confront their own lives, confront their own difficulties. If we had just made this possible and worked it on a gradient scale, we would have wound up with clears at some large number of hours. That was really all we had to know, the ability to face up to, the ability to confront. And it would have gotten us there, here and there. But we would have certainly discovered, in a bad way, an awful lot of things that we have discovered fairly easily in the intervening years. So we come to Scientology engram running. And Scientology engram running is about as different from Dianetic engram running as you could get. That's why I say the joke's on you. You say, well, it's 1950 Success Congress, you're running engrams again, everything is fine, that's good enough for us. Oh, boy. You talk about reality. Scientology, technology, has come up to a point where you could take an individual and throw him into a total live-through on the track and make him sort it out, totally construct its total reality till it's as real as this room, and then put him in a condition with regard to it so that he can put it all back again. He can erase it. He can put it back. He can make it real. He can erase it. He can put it back. He can make it real. He can go through it. He can re-experience it. He can confront it. And in short, bring order to it. Now, this is a fascinating look. We aren't really even doing it on a gradient scale, as the ACC instructors will tell you. I don't think there's anything... I don't think there's anything gradient scale about putting a hand grenade in somebody's stomach. It's just not gradient scale, that's all. But he measures up to gradient scale as he goes along. He gradually gets a little bit better at it, and a little bit better at it, and a little bit better at it. And eventually comes up to being able to do these things with an engram. Mental image picture. Obviously, a mental image picture is a mental image environment. And a mental image environment is very, very easy to get reconstructed today with Scientology. The technology is new. Here and there, somebody has gotten hold of an ACC student and says, "Give me the commands." And he's gone home and fallen on his face with a case. I know we've made some interesting things about this. The auditing must be almost totally free of ARC breaks. It's got to be awfully smooth in order to get away with it. In some snarled up cases, you have a real ball. You have to do a total track scout from just one end to the other and put it all together, get all the things nailed down in place, and get whole bunches of overts off, and all of a sudden there the guy sits in the middle of the engram necessary to resolve the case. He sees this great bell-mouth blunderbuss, which is right here. See, its muzzle is right here. And he vaguely sees a finger on the trigger. It's been sitting there that way for 200 or 300 years. Now, the auditor must be able to utter the proper command to get the trigger pulled. Because that is the one thing he won't do. Now, this is very dramatic. This stuff is more dramatic than old Dianetic auditing. But it has a limitation and a liability. And the limitation is simply this. That a Scientology-run engram does not key out the way a Dianetic-run engram did. That's an important thing to know about these new technologies. In from 3 to 10 days, in the old days, any engram you got the person into would key out. In other words, you get the fellow into measles, he'd turn on some red spots 3 days later, 10 days later, they'd all be gone. It's very funny, a mental image picture, you throw somebody back down the track into measles. This fellow picked up book one, read 2-3 chapters, you know, thorough study, and... Thorough of his wife, and he says, "I wonder if you can do this." And he says, "Do you remember ever being sick?" "So I remember having measles." He says, "Good." Says right here, "Go to your measles engram." Don't you do it, by the way. "Go to your measles engram," he says. The next morning, she wakes up, and she's got spots all over her face, you see? So he rushes her down to the doctor, and the doctor examines her and stethoscopes her and hits her reflexes, you know. And he's like, "I could swear she has measles, except there's no respiratory infection." 3 days later, it was gone. He wouldn't do this with Scientology engram running. He would have said to his wife, it says right over here on page 1, What part of that incident can you confront? Good. What part of that incident can you confront? Good. What part of that incident can you confront? Good. Well, I guess that's all. And would have taken her to the doctor the next morning. The doctor would have said, "What are all these spots? Looks like measles to me, but there's no respiratory infection." She would have come home 3 days later. She still would have had measles. 10 days later, she still would have had measles. And month in and month out, she still would have had measles. In other words, you take technology which can overwhelm an engram this thoroughly, and it throws it into violent re-stimulation, and it stays that way. That's the first thing to know about this. In other words, if you enter one with Scientology auditing, you flatten it. How long does it take to flatten? I made a big mistake. I always make the same mistake. I seem to run on a 1-to-5 factor with auditors at large. I do in 1 hour what they do in 5. So at the beginning of the 5th London ACC, I said very glibly, "Well, you can flatten one of these things in from 10 to 15 hours. So they flattened them in from 50 to 75. But that's how long it takes to flatten a Scientology engram, evidently. 50 to 75 hours. Totally flatten it, get it all the way put back again. But if you do it, you get it all done. It's a matter of what case. One engram, the right engram, well run, totally run, totally handled, totally confronted, time factor, everything else handled in the thing. What case? You go to the next engram, the guy expects this to be very arduous. It runs much more rapidly. You go to the next engram, that runs much more rapidly. It might be even much more arduous engram, but he's already found he could do something about it. And so, we move into the next stages, and there's this incident, where he's on a spaceship, and it falls into a planet, and it hits at a very high velocity. Hits very, very hard, and all of its fuel goes off in a radioactive explosion. And then he can't get out of the cloud of it, and he's been stuck there more or less ever since, you see, totally splattered, and it was his fault that it happened. All right. You say, "Holy cats, that's a terrible engram. How many hours is it going to take to run this thing?" So you say, "Well, all right, you've got it on the E-meter. You start the PC into the beginning of the thing." He says, "Whoosh, whoosh, there." You say, "Well, now go through it again." He says, "Go through what?" You say, "Go through that engram." All right. Put it back. Now you say, "All right, let's start at the beginning and go through it again." He says, "Go through what?" "The engram. You know all about it." "Yes, yes, as a matter of fact, I do." "My name was Crossneck in that life, and I had command of this liner, and as a matter of fact, I had a wife, her name was Betsy, and she had a dog with the name of Abel." And you say, no, the engram. Go through the engram. He says, "All right," he says, "I'll put it back again." About that time, you begin to wonder what's happening to you, because he's put it back. I mean, he's put it back. It's solid. It's almost your environment, too. Well, that's the way we're clearing the rougher cases, or the easier cases. It becomes very easy to do this. So we are clearing by engrams after 8 years of heavy slug. And although it takes a bit of doing, and it isn't something you do very casually, and it has no bugs in it beyond auditing skill, nevertheless, we have arrived at a goal that we were hitting at in 1950. Now, 1950 had a disorderly environment in it. We probably got there several times. We probably made a few clears. We probably won better than we knew. But we ourselves were not as sure on our feet about what we were doing. And think of the tremendous numbers of things there were yet to be known about the human mind, the spirit, anatomy, life. We'd never learned any of those things, why we'd never have been as able to handle things as we are now. I don't think we could be handling what we're handling now unless we'd had these intervening years. It's all been a gradual growth and gradual development of the subject out to its logical conclusion. But what does it mean if you could take everything bad that had ever happened to you and everything bad you had ever done, and it was as simple as, what would that mean? Well, if you worked on the basis of the psychoneuroticist, if you worked on his base, you would say, all of your abilities are derived from your aberrations. Which is the same thing as saying, the reason you can climb the mountain is because you keep putting sacks of sand on your head. This is logical. This is logical. So if an individual is capable of swinging along the line at all, despite a burden of engrams, it's demonstrable that he swings along much, much better without them driving him, mixing him up. Now, we have had a little bit of an error along the line. We have said consistently, you are making them. You are making them, we have said. Yes, that's true. That's true. But you are making something that you can't do anything about, and what you can't do anything about is making it. Now, isn't that an interesting new look? Therefore, you could say it's being made. You can't do anything about making it. It's just there. That's just the way it is. Now, if you can't do anything about making it, you can't do anything about unmaking it, and so there is the mystery of what makes the engram. You can't do anything about making it. You go right on making it, don't you see? Until you overcome the idea that you can do nothing about it, you do go right on making it. And there it is. All right, so a few generations ago, you killed somebody. He wasn't doing a thing, you up and killed him. Boy, that's really something you can do nothing about. There he lies, dead. Of course, you don't feel very much about it. You're mad at the fellow. He robbed your bank or something of the sort. And you feel perfectly okay. Vengeance has won. Justice has triumphed. There he lies dead, bleeding all over the place. Mop that up afterwards. He was an evildoer, a malefactor. We felt very victorious about it. We felt very good about it. And then we heard that his widow was having a very, very hard time because she couldn't get anything to feed her kids, and they had been about 5 days without any food or fuel. The auditor handles this, got it made. Therefore, it takes a singular amount of nerve to go up against these things, and an individual who doesn't know what the common denominator of it is, after a while becomes rather lacking in ambition. He says, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about this. You know, that fellow, he's just making these engrams, and he won't realize that he's making it. And I keep telling him Doesn't do any good. There he is. He just keeps making them. He keeps getting himself in trouble. I get him out of one thing, and he gets into something else. And it's just too much. And there's nothing I can do about him. All you've done is Q&A with his banks. That's all you've done. You say, well, there's everything he'd run into, he couldn't do anything about it. And after a while, you Q&A'd with his bank. And you did the same thing that he was doing. Yeah, that's silly. Not true, either. There's always something you can do about him. Always. I don't care how small or how large it is. There's always something you can do about it. Now, with Scientology engram running, we enter a new vista of auditing smoothness. Now, it isn't true that an individual can be cleared only with Scientology engram running. That is not true. At the same time engram running came up, or perhaps just a little bit afterwards, we had other clearing methods. And I was very worried, to tell you the truth, because any time you just have one set of techniques which lead to a final result, you're in danger of getting those techniques invalidated in some fashion or hashed up in some fashion, and you've lost your one road. And one road to clear was not at all desirable. So as soon as we had one road to clear, I immediately got to work hard to find some faster and better roads to clear. But nevertheless, Scientology engram running is in some respects not as good an answer as repetitive command engram running for some auditors in some areas. Now that sounds rather odd. Look, Scientology engram running requires tremendous skill. It can be taught. We did it. We've already done this. We've done this to the biggest ACC that was ever held, the Fifth London. We won, thanks to very able people instructing it. We won. We've got an even bigger ACC coming up, which makes the 21st American the biggest ACC ever held, and we'll win in that one hands down. What about these fellows that aren't going to attend that ACC? You mean I'm just going to turn my back on all these good-willing people and say, well, you've got to come to an ACC and learn how to run engram before you can get anything done? If you know me, you know I wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, there's always a way to do it better. Yes, there is undoubtedly a way to do it perfectly. Yes, the auditors who go through an ACC will be so darn superior to other auditors that it's a big gap. But how about lesser techniques? Do they have any advantages? Is there any advantage at all into being just a mediumly good repetitive command auditor? Is there any advantage to this at all? Boy, you said it. There are cases that ARC break so fast that object to what you do so quickly, that throw so much confusion back at you, that you want to handle these cases for quite a little while with very easy processes before you go monkeying around with much else. Of course, in engram running, if you throw them into an engram run, they haven't got a choice, they haven't got a prayer, they run the engram, that's it. At the same time, we have a tremendous number of able people. And remember, in 1950, we had lots of people who couldn't successfully run engrams. We had a few auditors who instinctively and well could handle engrams in a Dianetic fashion. They did a good job. But for every one of them, there were dozens who couldn't stand up to the rigor of auditing. And that's why we didn't have a broad clearing program, and that's why it never got going. All right, at the same time now, we've got this thing buttoned up. There is one technique, So I will tell you right now, which doesn't cause ARC breaks, doesn't make a PC restive, and which goes through to clear, which can be run by an auditor who has a lot of trouble handling a PC. Now, boy, that's quite a technique, isn't it? Now, this is one of several techniques, but is definitely a new high peak for an HCA or even a book auditor, and takes him through somewhere up the line with a new being on his hands. He's changed the PC that much. Now, all you need's a little success to get confidence. All you need is a few wins. And all you need to handle these very difficult ARC break cases, guy sits there trying to try to audit him or help him. He's on a help flip-flop button, you know. And you try to help him, and he says, ARC break. After a person has helped tremendous numbers of people, he rather gets on this flip-flop button. Every time he gets some help, it's an ARC break. You get the idea? All right, for this person, you need something pretty smooth. Pretty smooth. Rather than get your own head blown off in trying to audit people. If you want to audit people without getting your head blown off, there is a way to do it. If you're afraid of, before you, big new phrase in engram running, it's called see the elephant. If you're watching a PC go into one, man, that's seeing the elephant. It's an old cavalry term. They used to take the young recruits out to battle so they could see the elephant. You know when you've seen the elephant. And when a person is not too sure of his tools, when he's not too sure of his results, he certainly doesn't need something that shows him a sudden elephant. Elephants appearing magically through the floor are not welcome. He might be able to tolerate a small feather mysteriously drifting down from the ceiling, but not an elephant, an African one, in full charge appearing in the middle of the floor. No, that has nothing to do with that one. So we have a new idea of auditing on a gradient scale. There are three types of auditing now. First type of auditing is, of course, what we call tone 40 auditing, lowest type of case. The next type of auditing is formal auditing, and that is the type of auditing we have been doing right up here to engram running. That's all been formal auditing, here for years, repetitive command auditing and so forth. That's what we mean by formal auditing. Then there is engram auditing, and that is something on upstairs, but it's another type of auditing. And if you can't do tone 40 auditing and you can't do formal auditing, don't ever try engram auditing. So therefore, we have these new divisions and types. But that doesn't mean that a person who can only do formal auditing is worse off, to be written off the books, to be forgotten about, and so forth. Very far from it. Because there is just one technique, formally audited and smoothly, which would carry a person all the way on up the line. Because it changes a person's concept of himself. And it is the first dynamic technique. All earlier techniques referred really to the third and second dynamics. But this is a first dynamic technique. And this is a new look. It is a way to change a thetan without changing his bank. But if you change the thetan, you would change his bank. And although it is long and fluky in some respects, quite arduous, and has to be very heavily policed by the auditor, it is nevertheless a simple, repetitive command process. And its command is, invent something worse than you. And it undercuts all the things he's trying to keep from getting to be. And takes all the bottoms out. It's quite a remarkable process. It's the first dynamic process. However, it has to be run. It has to be run with extreme care. The person first must be able to invent something. So the way you'd start it in, you'd go at it with old rudiments and so forth. You make sure the person's havingness was up, you know, you follow the ropes. Use new factual havingness, all three commands, something of this sort. Make sure that he had something. Then make sure that he could invent something. So probably the first command that you would give him, just maybe you only give him three or four, maybe only one. But you'd say, invent something. And the fellow thinks for a while, and finally invents something. And you say, now, do you know that you invented that? And he said, yes, I know I invented that. That's the end of that particular phase of it. You're really just clearing the command by giving a command. Now, the next stage is invent something worse than you. You can clear this command up, make sure we know what he means by you. And by the way, you have to clear you every once in a while in running this thing, because you is sometimes a phony Thetan, sometimes a bank, sometimes a body, sometimes all three. He changes his mind as he goes up the line. So you have to clear the command quite often. Oh, I'd say at least two, three times a session at the absolute minimum. So you run this command, invent something worse than you, and you get his answer. Now, he doesn't have to tell you what his answer is. If he's in fairly bad shape, he won't want to. He won't want to at all. But if he is at all cooperative, why, you can get this thing going rather easily, and just every once in a while ask him what he just invented. But you have to know what else he is doing. It's very funny, the way some people run this command. They say, let's see now, how am I? Oh, yes, how am I? Yeah, well, that's it. Now, there, I've got that. Now, I'll invent something over here worse than that. They're not doing just the auditing command. They're doing something else. Doing something else than the auditing command. You have to make sure that they know they're inventing then, and that they only do the auditing command. What do you mean by only the auditing command? Just, it's something worse than they are. Well, how do I know it's worse? You just know it. Oh, that's a new thought. All right. They usually consent to this. In other words, run with that much control. PC doesn't go into many convulsions on this. He certainly doesn't kick back very hard. There's a minimum of chance of ARC breaks, although some auditors, I dare say, will be able to make it. That cynicism born out of too many recent ACCs. Now, here we have a formal auditing process, which does some rather fabulous things for a case. Oh, it isn't the ultimate process, but it is a process that can be run by an auditor with relatively small confidence in his own skill, and certainly in no state of case to take a big blast back from a PC. Some PCs, you just touch them, they start to explode, you know. Therefore, these are not comparable. Engram running by Scientology and repetitive command clearing. They're actually not comparable because they are done by basically different people. Now, if you really want to get somebody cleared, you want to do it fairly rapidly, you want to do a thorough job on it, you'll get all those engrams which are locks on the rock and walk him right straight on back until he can run the rock as an engram from beginning to end. swish, swish, put it back again, and the rock is an awful heavy engram. And you'll have a clear with exclamation points. But if you are not capable, you feel, of facing up to this much violence, dynamite, if you can't take an ACC, something like this, there's another road. There's another road which you can do. You can sit down, and even though you audit like a wound-up doll, you know, invent something worse than you, good. Invent something worse than you, good. Invent something worse than you, good. You still get someplace. First place, the PC is so introverted that he never notices it when you make a flub. And you'll find out you'll win. Some of his chronic somatics will start shifting around, and oh, he may have a dreadful struggle at first getting any certainty on the matter. Just make sure that he does the auditing command, and you'll be able to change a human being. Quite remarkable. This even works on relative unreality cases. Cases all snarled up in groupers. Cases smeared all over the place. Requires no vast diagnosis. That, then, is fairly important to know, isn't it? All right, you yourself, let us say you've got a group running, you teach a course, you teach HAS, you know. Somebody says, I want to do a little auditing. Well, you better put them on a technique they'll win with, because they'll never want to audit again if they don't win a little bit. Or you've got a technique to give them with some satisfaction. You'll have to steer them around. The number of mistakes they'll invent, even running that one, will absolutely stretch your imagination. People are geniuses at this, inventing difficulties. But you could trust it in such hands. How far it'd go, how many other things he'd find, whatever else he'd do, he'd at least get someplace. You could teach him to run that one and factual havingness. And he could do some of the most remarkable things you ever heard of. So Scientology at once went in to the totality of complexity, Scientology engram running, which is terrific, and which you can do, and which can be learned, requires a cast iron constitution, and so forth. And over here is one of the simplest things you ever did or ever asked anybody to do. And this one wins. It doesn't make total clears, and it doesn't make them fast and so forth, but it wins. It makes people well. It makes them feel better. It makes them feel more able. So we're just winning in all directions. We're winning in all directions to such a degree that I can be dispensed with very, very shortly. Thank you.